Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. Medical report. We have the amazing, the illustrious Lowell Fonte, and your latest article, Lowell, is quite important for people to understand. I'd like you to kind of opine on this. It says, fight richism by embracing your inner entrepreneur. And you talk about a number of things, going back to the Money, Morality, and the Machine book, Smith's Law in a Lawless, Overgoverned Age. And please continue, because this article, of course, is also posted up on WorldNet Daily. Tell us what the primary thesis is.
Well, it has several dimensions to it. Number one, 21 years ago, I did a Wall Street Journal piece in which I argue that Republicans should support hate crime laws that the Democrats are so often pushing. But they should insist that a new dimension be added to the hate crime laws, and that is, it should be made a hate to engage in class warfare or hatred.
Right.
Now, of course, if you do that, when you realize that for labor unions and the Democratic Party, their bread and butter is saying, let's hate and tax the rich, that would then be forbidden. That would then be looked down upon as an incipient crime.
Right.
In other words, their whole political basis for existing would vanish overnight.
Same thing with people like Ocasio-Cortez, are basically calling for, in a sense, not a soft but a pretty hard revolution, blocking airports and all ICE offices across the country. She should be sanctioned by the Democratic Party, and she should be literally jailed, just like a crazy mad Maxine Waters. These people need to go to prison. The kind of comments they're making are actually sedition against the state. It's really not acceptable, is it?
No, she's advocating terrorism, and as I've often written, we now live in a country where you would not even be allowed to sing the national anthem, talking about bombs bursting in air and so on, at an airport without being apprehended and arrested.
Right.
I mean, now that's merely for saying the word bomb in the context of getting on an airliner. Well, what is she advocating? She's advocating shutting down airports. For goodness sake, that is an act of terrorism. You may call it protest. In fact, to cut off the communications within a society, that is the ability of people to get from one place to another, that is a terrorist act.
When I look at her body language and her eye movements and so on, I see someone who is manic depressive and has a definite psychosis. This is not a normal person. This is a mentally ill woman.
Well, I'm not competent to judge that. I do.
I am, and I can tell you from a distance.
I can tell you
from a distance, the woman is acting like I know above all other people, despite the fact that in the last century, socialism and communism in its various ugly forms, including the latest one, Venezuela, killed almost 500 million people. So the fact that she's trying to push it on America is obscene, and the way she wants to do it is actually a form of sedition, which means she needs to go to jail. This is not. She doesn't get to run in an election, and I hope to God that that Cox actually gets his act together, or the alternative member that's a Republican wins the seat, because this woman should not be the image of the Democratic Party. If it is, the Democratic Party is done. They're finished.
Well, that might be a good argument for making her the visible face of the Democratic Party. In any event, the district she won, the 14th District of New York in New York City, which combines a bit of the Bronx and a bit of Queens, is so left-wing, so far over on the Democratic side, that no Republican is likely to win it anytime soon. But
right.
if she wins it, I mean, this is a district where half the people are Latinos. This is a district where half the people each day speak a language other than English in the home. This is a district where you have a very high, at least 25% proportion of people who are not born in the United States. In other words, it's an extremely atypical district by U.S. standards. It's a kind of freakish, gerrymandered to guarantee the election of a Democrat sort of district. And that's what she won. She didn't win a conventional district.
Well, it's not just that. You'd think that the people that come here from other countries want to control immigration so they themselves are not put at risk, because it's these very people most at risk for uncontrolled immigration and the removal of ICE. They're the most at risk of being injured by this crazy policy, which is insane. They actually support her despite the fact she's putting them at risk. I'm amazed at how inanely stupid these people are, that they would literally push someone who's actually going to bring illegals against themselves, often of the same language and culture, but in here illegals, including MS-13 and others, and they want to get rid of ICE that would ultimately remove criminals and other elements. I'm just boggled by the fact that these so-called new Americans don't have the sense to realize Ocasio-Cortez is putting them in danger.
Well, of course, but you have to understand the dynamic of the election. Here was a very old... old Paul-style Irish politician, Democrat, admittedly very far left by normal standards, but still a let's-make-a-deal, you know, the mafia will be an annoyance to you unless you give me money kind of Democrat politician. She is a young 28-year-old Latina. She has, in recent days, made a fool out of herself in two ways on television shows. Number one, she went on the new firing line on PBS, before Margaret Hoover, the granddaughter of Herbert Hoover,
right.
who is a liberal Republican. Of course, Herbert Hoover himself, most people don't realize, was a progressive Republican. He was not a conservative at all. But what she did is demonstrate she knows absolutely nothing about economics. She said, oh, the Israelis are occupying the Palestinians, meaning let's get rid of the Israelis and turn that land over to Palestine. This did not win her great support in New York City.
Yeah, because a lot of the people if they're not Jewish, they support the Jewish state.
And she finally just had to say, well, I don't know anything about foreign policy. Okay, great. We should elect you to Congress.
Really?
You don't know anything about anything.
Why is someone that's malignantly stupid trying to run for office, and she's got this facial expression, the way she looks her eyes up, I really know, I have dogma. You may have facts, but I've got dogma. That's what I'm seeing in the latest in the Democratic Party. They have feelings and dogma. They don't have facts or logic or even a way of actually delivering what they're talking about. They want to push the idea of retirement at 61, but they don't have any savings. They want free this, free that, free everything. Who's going to pay? Who's going to pay for all the free stuff?
Well, now remember, she's also said, as a member of Democratic Socialist America and an activist there, that she wants to eliminate capitalism.
Really?
She wants to do away with private ownership and so on. She wants to guarantee free medical care, free benefits, income redistribution, all the usual accoutrements of a hard social.
She wants to turn us into Cuba.
But yes, but that is not what has the Democratic Party freaking out quietly now. She's starting to run her own allies against other Democrats in similar districts around New York.
I noticed that. In other words, she's running her allies with her crazy policies against other Democrats, which means she's trying to change the inside guts.
And this gives
of the Democratic Party
choice. Either they can go even farther to the left, which makes them less electable or less credible, or they can lose to her in some of these contests. Remember, too, she started out by saying, oh, I'm just a poor little Latina from a poor district in New York. I'm a working class person. People have looked into her background. She graduated from Boston University, tuition $70,000 a year.
Whoa.
She did not grow up in that district. She grew up in Westchester, where Hillary Clinton lives.
Right.
I know Westchester very well. The Reader's Digest headquarters, for whom I worked 15 years, is based there in Chappaqua. And, in other words, she's been caught lying repeatedly to her own electorate. And now she's shown herself to be an absolute idiot on factual details. So what does she have going for her? She has a Latina, Puerto Rican background, and she is able to have big, soft, doe-like eyes and look relatively intelligent. And that's about all she has going for her.
Well, and she's arrogant, narcissistic, and manic depressive. How's that?
It'll be interesting. But we'll come back to the article.
Again, this is the death of the Democrats. We're let's have the Burning Man wake for the Democratic Party with Ocasio Cortez.
No.
He's not going to get. He needs to get out and get his act together. And welcome back. So, both on Monday and yesterday with John W. Spring, I made some valid criticisms of Trump. He did correct a lot of his misspeaks, where it looked like he was confusing meddling and the election, because it made it look like, and again, it's all optics, made it look like somehow the meddling might have had something to do with the election outcome, which he didn't mean. And he also didn't bring up the actual Russian hacking, not only the power grid, but the water treatment facilities and our air traffic controller towers. Putin is threatening a few months ago to even hit America from assaults by hypersonic cruise missiles that fly below radar across the southern hemisphere, where we have no early warning system. So it's my fact, which I've actually been a whistleblower to the federal government, that Venezuela has Russian nuclear submarines literally tunneled into the sides of the Orinoco River. So Putin is, yes, he's a competitor, but he's also an enemy. And we can make him restrained when we actually squeeze his financial testicles of him and the oligarchs and the people in the Rosatom rocket engine factory outside Moscow that gave Kim his rockets and Russian missile guidance systems, which I have intel from my sources, that those systems that Kim has are entirely Russian. They're not Chinese. The Chinese are contributing in other ways, financially for rocket fuel, etc., but the primary technology is Russian that's in Kim's rockets and his missile systems, which, by the way, he hasn't made any positive moves, as far as I can see, to actually dismantle it or even allow early inspection. So Trump is off his game, as far as I'm concerned, and he's trying to get back on his game. There's a lot of people like me in the alternative media that support Trump. We want him to smarten up. Firstly, he needs to listen to us. I need to have some time to talk to Trump face-to-face without a lot of interference, because I know what's going on with missile defense, and I know intel information from my own sources in the Pentagon and elsewhere that Trump doesn't have full disclosure, and he's certainly not acting on it. And you can't be tough with NATO on the one hand and then kind of make Putin feel like he won the game. I mean, the media all over the place, including Europe, are making it look like Putin laughed all his way back to Moscow. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, reportedly, Trump has indicated just the last couple of days that there's no particular time limit on Kim denuclearizing. On the other hand, in theory, we're cutting off aid to Kim. If that's the case,
first off,
and we're not giving it back, then Kim is still under pressure to do something.
Kim's going to run out of money by October. Russia will run out of money by November, by the way. I have this from my own sources. The fact is that we need to not squeeze just Kim alone, but Russia and China. If the oligarchs, including Putin, knew that we were going to close down their swift transfer of money and close down their bank accounts, and the same with the Chinese four banks that are actually doing laundering of money and allowing ship-to-ship transfer of oil and coal, it would put a stop to the support. It's only to be the fact that Russia and China, primarily both nations, including China especially financially, are supporting Kim, that he's able to continue his regime and is really not that anxious because he doesn't want to give up his weapons. He knows what happened with the comments by Pompeo and John Lightning Bolt, I call him, that in fact how we deal with Libya. It was years after they gave up their weapons. We killed him in the back of a truck with a steel rod shoved up his butt and lacerated his cardiac compartment, and he bled to death internally in the back of a truck. I mean, this is You know, the comments by Hillary Clinton was, we came, we saw, he died, cackle, cackle, cackle. You know, get a life. These people aren't stupid. And I think Trump needs to kind of get back on his game instead of being distracted. He also needs to make all this intel information no longer secure, or we call it hidden, so all this information can out, and they can stop this damn Mueller probe, and they need to direct the people to actually fire Rosenstein. Rosenstein needs to be gone. I've got stuff that I'm going to talk about tomorrow with Scott Adams from the Revolution, from Red State Talk Radio. And I have three big giant time bombs to drop on Trump and these other people that are going to empower Trump to finish off the Mueller probe, to get back on track with giving the Reading the Riot Act to Vladimir. Because Vladimir thinks he's going to get away with this crap, and he's going to get a hell of a shock because Trump is going to regroup with our help, and he's going to crush him. And the same with Mr. Xi. Their stock markets dropped 25% in the last month. China is a paper tiger, and we got a match to the right paw.
Yeah, so it's an interesting, understand obviously, as I'm sure you do, that whatever Trump had said in Helsinki, the media was totally armed. In fact, the media had already started calling him a traitor just for taking the meeting.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. The media, you know what I would do? I would also start this. I would actually de-license media. I de-license people that are actually publishing articles that are seditious articles and books. For example, look at Comey. He's come up with a public statement now after all the crimes he's done. Believe me, we got a bomb to blow up under the butt of Mr. Comey, who's a massive criminal. This guy needs to go to prison for the rest of his days, or even worse, execution. That's how bad he is. And when you see the stuff that I have tomorrow from Scott Adams and other sources, you're not going to believe what we're going to do with this guy. Comey is a mega criminal. So is Brennan, who collaborated with him. And it turns out that this guy Strzok, Peter Strzok, is not only an FBI agent, he's actually a deep intel CIA agent, we call a COINTELPRO CIA agent as well. So these are very bad guys from a very bad family with an incredibly bad background. And in fact, CIBC Bank, where both Comey and his brother work, were the main launderers of drug money around the world coming out of there, also working directly with the deep state and our intel agencies, bringing it out of the Golden Triangle. So people need to realize how freaking bad these guys are. These are the worst of the worst, and that's why they're scrambling, because they're terrified that we're actually going to pull the entire string and find out exactly all the connections with these guys and why they all should go to prison, including Mueller. Mueller's another criminal, okay? These guys are scrambling to try to create a thesis that doesn't exist because they know the alternative is they're going to go to jail or worse.
Oh, sure. I go along with the more or less conventional analysis right now, and that is the media was all ready to attack Trump no matter what he did. If he had been tough at that meeting with Putin, if he had gone up against then he would have been called a warmonger. He would have been called threatening the world. Behind all of this, the Democrats are desperate. They haven't been able to get any sufficient evidence on Trump. They're going to lose. They're scared to death of losing what little power they have left. And accordingly, they're using every dirty trick they can possibly think of. Trump was going to be crucified no matter how he acted in that press conference. He just happened to act one way, and so they used that as an excuse to go after him. Now, as to Putin, Putin said something very interesting at that press conference that the mainstream media doesn't pick up on.
Right.
That is, he uttered the sacred name of Bill Browder.
Yeah, Bill Browder and the $400 million that went to Bill Browder, who's also tied to the $1.3 billion he made.
$1.5 billion went to Bill Browder and his.
I know, $1.5 billion went to.
$400 million of it went then to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
There is a collusion connection. It is Russian, but it doesn't involve Trump. It involves Hillary.
Well, that's why they're scrambling so much, because Hillary should be in prison, and or because of the level of sedition, and there's probably dead agents from the hacking into the server in the broom closet, that she should probably be executed, okay, for crimes and sedition that's beyond just life sentencing. This is how bad she is.
Well, there is that well-known Democrat, in fact, an aide and so on, who did wind up mysteriously shot to death on the streets of Washington, D.C. Multiple bullets in the back, but not a penny taken out of his wallet.
You're talking about Vince Foster, right?
No, this is much more recent.
Well, recent one, yeah. By the way, we've got new stuff about Vince Foster. It turns out that the approval hearing for our new Supreme Court nominee was involved with Vince Foster, so the Vince Foster file is going to reopen, and show that there's direct connection to the Clintons. I see Trump in the next number of meetings over the next 2 or 3 months is going to completely devolve anything, any confusion over Putin. Putin's on notice now. I mean, I saw the interview or part of the interview with Chris Wallace, and he wouldn't take the papers that Chris passed him because Chris is an excellent interviewer. And he nailed him with the documents that show the 12 Russians that so-called hacked into the DNC server. But yet the follow-up to that is, number one, where is Bill Browder? Where is the $400 million? Where are the DNC servers, which they never turned over? Where are all the smashed iPhones? And where are the 33,000 missing emails? I mean, Trump amazed us even in the press conference. And the fact is, the media doesn't want to touch any of this stuff because the guilt is so great. It's literally like the latrine is washed over, so the entire building up to your eyeballs is full of fecal matter and urine. I mean, it's that disgusting that the media tries to still pretend that somehow Trump is a criminal, or it's treasonous the way he dealt with this issue with one minor misstep in terms of a double negative, when in actual fact his actions against Russia, weaponizing the Ukrainians, putting sanctions on them, including the Russian financial sanctions, etc. There's so many things that he's done against Russia. He's not Putin's poodle, is he?
No, and in fact, trying to get Angela Merkel to end the pipeline deal she signed with Russia. Things
right.
like that would bankrupt Russia.
Yeah, well, they're almost close to bankruptcy. I know they're exchanging their emergency reserve funds, and they're going to run out of money by November. So if Putin doesn't make a deal...
But for Americans, keep something in mind. Who is... Okay, Russia probably did spy on us the same way that we were spying on Angela Merkel, on Benjamin Netanyahu and others.
Also, we're probably spying on Russia, too.
Also, the Russians did not limit their attack to the Democrat servers, all which are now missing, interestingly, and which the politicized FBI under Obama refused to seize and analyze. They took the Democrat Party's word when they said, go away, we're not going to let you look at our servers, which is suspicious enough. But the big question is, Trump had this choice. In Helsinki. Because the question is, who is the greater threat to American democracy? Vladimir Putin, who really did nothing, even the FBI and so on acknowledge he didn't change one vote in the U.S. Either Vladimir Putin or Peter Strzok, who is trying to overthrow by subversion and a duly elected president of the United States in one of the highest acts of treason ever committed in American history. I mean, right. Something comparable to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. That's what they're trying to do to Trump right now. And the media was saying, we want you to praise the intelligence agencies that are doing this to you right now. Well,
I think Trump
knew if he said one thing in that gathering in favor of the intelligence agencies or in condemnation of Russia, that would have been reported the next day with headlines that said, Trump admits collusion.
Right.
Trump admits. The bigger question is, how come we now know that Barack Obama was totally aware of the Russian collusion and ordered his own intelligence people who were aware of it to stand down?
Right.
And this is not my or a right-wing opinion. This is an opinion put forth in left-wing media.
Right.
And they analyzed this. So, I mean, this was written up by Mr. Isikoff and Mr. Korn, who are very left-wing journalists, and they were shocked and horrified that Obama did nothing to stop Russian interference with the election.
Wow.
So what are we to make of that, boys and girls? So Trump was caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, If he had done anything to antagonize or attack Putin, he would have been a warmonger and a danger to world peace. Hence, you were to vote for Democrats in November. If he had not attacked Putin and instead had taken a mild peacemaker line, then he would be condemned as a lackey of Putin, as he is now.
Right.
So there was no way he was going to win. They had already written the stories condemning him. They'd written them on both sides. It was just a matter of which one they'd use.
Amazing.
Well, I mean, I certainly can say what Trump did was not politic, that what he did was not as clever as might have been done by others. But the fact is, he was on the right side of much of this.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact is,
he supported the lesser of two evils and opposed the great. He did not fall into the trap of doing anything that would let them say Trump admits Russia influenced the election.
Exactly, yeah. Amazing.
When, in fact, their election, their impact. I mean, Barack Obama, for example, interfered in the Israeli election, trying to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money behind the anti-Netanyahu campaign. He interfered with the election over Brexit in England. In fact, he even went there and told them, you'll lose relations with the U.S. if you agree to Brexit. I mean, this is not a lack of interference. Countries interfere in that sense with each other's election all the time. Well, Mexico is a massive source of interference. Do you realize that Mexico has Mexican nationals in the U.S. come and register to vote in its embassies and, what are those financial outposts of embassies called? In any event, official Mexican offices, where U.S. authorities can't go. It's registering Mexicans to vote in U.S. elections. And under the new California law that the Democrats put in place, you do not swear that you are a citizen of the United States. You only need to swear that you're a resident of the United States.
Wow.
Well, you cannot be held guilty of any crime if you declare yourself merely a resident. I mean,
wow.
So much corruption and criminality, so much interference in our elections goes on all the time that what Russia was doing was a trifle. And by the way, Russia tried to go into the Republican computers, too. The difference is they were much better protected. They were much more hardened against hacking because the Republicans are afraid of Democrats hacking them. And so the Democrats were not able to get into the Republican computers as they were the Democrat and John Podesta's computers.
Wow.
By the way, they got into Podesta. Hillary.
By the way, do you know what his password was? For Podesta's it's password, yeah.
Yes.
So in other words, he was not only a devil, he was an idiot too.
Well, was not the devil always an idiot?
He is. I mean, he's the most smart idiot in the universe because he considers himself so intelligent.
For Russian interference, Podesta was one of the chief owners of a company in New York, a technology company, that a Putin sovereign wealth fund before the election dumped $37 million into. And yet the media didn't make anything of that. It's a bit interesting. Is that not interference? Is not $400 million coming through Russian agents or operatives interesting, as Putin brought it up? And yet the left doesn't even mention it, much less call for investigating it.
Uh-huh.
And this was done at the press conference. Putin just invoked this and said, we will be happy to let you come and watch us interrogate the people you want. We would like the same privilege in the U.S. We'd like to interrogate Mr. Browder.
Yeah, right.
Or have your aid.
By the way, Browder got rid of his citizenship, so he didn't have to pay tax on that $1.5 billion, didn't he?
He did not pay any tax, according to.
Yeah, but he actually did. He actually got rid of his actual U.S. citizenship, so he didn't have to pay tax. You know that, right?
Well, that's convenient. I know he's technically British.
Yeah, yeah, but he had a U.S. citizenship as well.
So there we are.
Yeah, devil's at work. How's that? And as far as I'm concerned, Trump should not stay out of it. He should start de-licensing journalists and media, publishing articles and media, radio and TV that are calling for sedition. And people like Ocasio-Cortez and Mad Maxine need to go to jail. Welcome back. So, your closing thoughts on this whole thing with the Putin and the European NATO summit. I think that Trump is actually on track to actually, in the next few months, get not only NATO to cough up more money. I have some concerns. The trans-European military that they want is actually not one to fight Russia or China, but to actually suppress their own internal nations so that they won't leave the Union, which is probably going to have a reformation of the Federation in Europe. So Italy, Hungary, Romania, and Austria are now will get populist leaders. So that's number one. Number two, I see the possible dangerous alliance with now a Maduro, a Muslim country with a dictator that is, in a sense, not a full member but a partial member of the European Union. And that's a grave danger in the future because even our missile defense systems are integrated with the European Space Agency. And the third issue I'm concerned about is that Trump needs to continue to meet with high officials in Russia to stop the cyber hacking into our power grid, our air traffic controllers, and our water treatment facilities. And the Russians need to be on notice that we're going to set a price for gas that's advantageous for our fracking people across the country and for the ANWR. And Russia needs to play ball in these other areas, which means they need to pull withdrawal support from Iran that does have missile systems, which I'm sure they're getting missile technology from Russia. They're not just advancing on their own. They're paying $3 billion a year just to observe over in North Korea, which Russia supplied the primary technology and the Chinese after the fact. So what we need to realize is that Putin's been playing a double game for a long time, and he's laughing. He thinks he's laughing, but he thinks he's fooled us in the West. He hasn't fooled us and the conservative media at all. And Trump, I think, is going to regroup, and you're going to see, I think, in the next few months, Trump really put the squeeze on Russia now that he's had this Putin meeting. And my guess is he will probably sit down with Rouhani from Iran. And although Russia claims that they've actually adhered to their agreement, I don't believe it for a second, because statements coming out of Rouhani and the mullahs that got all this mullah from this idiot Obama and their support of Hezbollah down in Lebanon and right now down in southwest Syria. This is extremely dangerous because when Israel decides to go crazy, they're going to clobber the hell out of Iran, including probably with nuclear devices that will share a reactor in western Iran. And the Russians are not going to be able to do a damn thing about it because if they start using advanced weapons, including their long-range missile systems in the Black Sea against our U.S. military bases, Russia will disappear in a nuclear cloud, not only with our conventional nuclear weapons, but space-based scalar and other weapons that we have, and Russia will cease to exist. And it's actually prophesied in the Bible that 85% of the so-called invaders of Israel, which, by the way, are Russia and its allies, and even the Table of Nations is listed in the Bible. So we know that this date is coming in the future. I think Trump is going to partially succeed, but to me, the slipperiness of the psychotic maniac called Putin, I call him Rasputin, cannot be underestimated. This man has evaded the previous presidents. He's put down his enemies and actually jailed them. Reporters disappear or die suddenly. He's not a nice guy, is he?
No, not at all. By the way, Craig Smith and I did the first book analysis, and it's a long, careful one, of how the European Union is, in fact, moving toward its own army, precisely as you suggested, to suppress people from leaving. By the way, Mrs. May, the Prime Minister of England, has been trying to sneak around behind her own people of the Conservatives' back and offer an exit or Brexit that isn't really a Brexit from European power. And that's going to cause a great deal of consternation over there. She's just barely survived a couple of recent votes. If people would like an absolutely free and postpaid copy of our book, Money, Morality, and the Machine that goes into this, you can get it by calling toll-free 800-633-6789. 800-630-1492, the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It literally will not cost you a penny. That's 800-630-1492 for listeners of Dr. Bill's show. As to Russia, if I were sitting there and I were believing that my power was based on, or what I wanted to preserve and glorify, were what they call great white Russians, like Putin himself, I would say, I've got China to the east of me ready to grab Siberia. I've got Muslims all along my southern tier as a nation. And I've got Germans to the west of me. And therefore, it's not in my interest to go against the United States, which could, as a friend could be much more helpful to me than any of those people. But that is why I think he's being short-sighted. He's got a 19th-century attitude of being czar, and it just isn't going to work in a 21st-century world for him.
I think that Putin wants to reinvigorate the czars and czarinas, because I think he's actually a long-distance indirect relative of the czars themselves, because it's my suspicion he may in fact be a blood descendant of the Tsarina, and Rasputin himself, this so-called priest, or if you want to call wizard, within the so-called Russian Orthodox Church.
Yes, the man who was so difficult to kill. By the way, part of the reason I'm bringing up this idea that scientists now agree with, for example, Duke University just did a study that the Daily Mail covered, that in fact entrepreneurship is genetic, is that raises a fascinating question. And that is, if we're going to protect people against discrimination because the genes in their body have given them black skin or a particular sexual predisposition or whatever, then shouldn't we have, as I said 21 years ago in the Wall Street Journal, genetic protection or that kind of protection against the economic equivalent of racism, which I call richism, shouldn't they be protected, since their tendency to be capitalistic and rich is actually part genetically predisposed? In fact, at King's College London and Case Western Reserve University in the U.S., they now calculate that 37 to 48% of the tendency to be an entrepreneur, a pioneer on the economic frontier, is genetic. So should we be punishing people for something genetic? Should we be putting oppressive taxes on them for something genetic? I would say no. That's the equivalent of taxing a person for being black.
Yeah. Amazing. I think what we should be doing is we should identify where people have genetic risks. For example, if you have the gene risks, which are 3 to 5 times more likely for blacks and Hispanics to be vaccinated and get brain damage causing ED, ADHD, and violent behavior, we should then give them nutritional metabolic support so that those genetic risks are reduced, just like the risk for, say, the BRCA panel, which causes breast cancer, et cetera, in females. I think we should approach it as a much more, biologically based approach rather than a socio-biological approach, because what we don't want discrimination on the basis of genetics, because in the future, I'm concerned that the state wants to take over reproduction and have reproduction only in facilities, where you submit your gametes, or you get a punch biopsy of your forearm, and females become biologically irrelevant, and anybody with any gene defect doesn't get the capacity to reproduce, except that they actually have genetic engineering done to their embryo before it's allowed to even be born. That's where I think see things going in the next 20 to 40 years. People don't see that.
You'll have people in power who will doubtless be collectivist, socialists, or progressives, who will decide what is a defect and what isn't. Is being white a defect? For example, is being gay a defect? That's what they will be deciding.
Right.
I mean, what we have found is that all kinds of things that we would view as outright negatives that a child might be born with, in fact, do open them to one or another unusual gift from God. And that's what St. Paul said in the Bible, wasn't it? Of course I'd like all people to be like me, but I realize that each person has his own gift from God.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think is going to happen? I honestly think that society is, no matter what's left or right, is moving toward more and more social and genetic control of the population. And I can see this on both the Republican side and the Democrat. A lot of people don't see it on the Republican side, but they don't realize people like William Ray and even this new judge, Kavanaugh, sees that collective metadata doesn't violate the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. And I don't think people realize that collective metadata and even marketing is just the front edge of something where eventually, once they can hack into your consciousness 5 to 7 years from now, that no private ideas will be without the government collecting data, not just on your tweets or on your purchases, but on your thoughts and intentions of your heart.
If the power of technology is developed, it will be used. That's the lesson of human history.
Yeah, if they develop it, you know, it'll be like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you build hacking into human consciousness, they will dominate.
And our military is doing that right now, as you said.
They're trying to. The people that I contacted 40 years ago, they wanted me to work on that at UCLA, were functional morons trying to do something like take a wrench to your cortex and figure they're going to control it. They don't know what they're doing, and hopefully they'll stay stupid.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.